Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Got a lot of interesting stuff going on this week in the fight nights last weekend in Atlantic City. So I think we should just go ahead and that's good. Berries and cream creamer. It's fucking good. Anyway, just jump right on into the episode. Andre Petroski knocking himself out, and not in the normal way that we see. Normally when guys knock themselves out, it's like when they pick up a dude and slam him, you know, and maybe they hit their head, kind of like a Matt Hughes and what's his name? I forgot his name. God damn it. I'd look it up. Hold, please. I got hella ADHD. By the way, have you guys seen Matt Hughes recently? He looks fucking great. He was out there on the mats throwing guys around. He's getting a lot better at talking. I'm so happy for that dude. Getting hit. Imagine getting hit by a train and then just being like, I'm okay. Like, dude's a fucking savage. God damn it. Come on, load. Matt Hughes is 45-9 overall. Holy shit. Who was that guy he fought? Carlos Newton, that's who it was. Carlos Newton was a bad motherfucker, too. But normally that when guys knock themselves out, it's very similar to that. They pick up a guy and slam him. Maybe they hit their head. But this was not that at all. If you guys didn't see the fight, it's like he went in for a takedown and hit the side of his head, like right on his hip here. You know, it's hard right there. Hit it right there. And kind of stumbled a little bit, and fight ended. So that was just one of the strangest things I've ever seen. That was against Jacob Malkoon. So I guess Jacob gets the TKO victory. Oh, my goodness. Julio Arce defeating Herbert Burns by knockout in the third round. Herbert was looking great in the beginning of that first round. Julio really turned it on in the later rounds, though. Knocked him out, I mean, really, really early in that third round. Like, how quickly did he knock him out? Why don't I just push my computer back? There, now I can see. Crazy. Yeah, like 2 minutes in. But, for being a plus 350 underdog, Herbert Burns, he looked great in that in the beginning round. So if you guys bet on Herbert Burns, you're probably getting a little excited there in the beginning rounds. I don't know why you would have bet on him. He hasn't performed well lately. But anyway. And then Nate the Train Landwehr defeating Jamal Emmers by first round knockout. Little bit of a rough start for Nate the Train there. Little bit of a rough start, but came back, finished the fight with like, what, 15 seconds left in the end of the first round? Great fight. Nate was an underdog in that fight, a plus 170. I would never not take Nate Landwehr as an underdog in any situation, unless he's fighting like some guy a weight class up and ranked way higher than him. Dude is an absolute monster. He's like the UFC Theo Vaughn. He's just a silly fucking guy. I fucking love him. I really do. He's awesome. And then Kyle Nelson defeating Bill Algeo by knockout in the very first round. Kyle Nelson, a bad man, a bad Canadian man, looked fantastic in that fight. Not much going on there. And that brings us to Nusrlan Ruzabayev versus Sedarius Dumas. There were a lot of controversial stoppages in this one. Not a lot, but there were a couple of stoppages in this fight card that were a little bit weird. And this was one of them. A clear eye poke. By Ruzabayev. Emmers holds his eye, tells the ref to stop, and the ref doesn't even, like, make a... Normally the ref will be like, you know, keep fighting, or stop. One of the two. Ref doesn't make any motion. He's just like... And then very shortly after the fight was finished, because his eye was fucked, he was bleeding from it. It was pretty bad. And when you go back to the... Because a lot of times guys get punched in the eye, and they don't realize it, and it does feel like an eye poke. I've hit my... Embarrassingly enough, you know, like, you ever, like, rub your eye like this when you have gloves on, when you're sparring, or when you're just, in, like, hitting pads or whatever, when you have the big 16-ounce gloves on, and you, like, poke your eye with them? It fucking hurts. It feels like someone poked you in the eye. So they were kind of thinking that's, you know, they were like, that's probably what happened. He probably got punched in the eye, and it felt like an eye poke. And then you go back, and you look at the replay, and it was very clearly an eye poke. He stopped the fight. Now, after the eye poke, after he was complaining, he did get hit with some big shots. So, is that what ended the fight? Or was that, did the eye poke end the fight? I don't know. I'm not one to judge. What do I know? But, that Nursultan Rozabiev dude, he's had, this is his, like, I think it's only his second fight in the UFC. And he's had, like, 40-something fights. It's nuts. And Jamal Emmers has only had like 8 or 9, like 10 or 11 fights. So, and he's only like 30 years old, by the way. So he's got plenty of time to grow. And he's 6'5" at fucking welterweight. That's insane. We're middleweight, sorry. And that brings us on to kind of another controversial finish to a fight. Chris Weidman versus Bruno Silva. Honestly, Chris, up until, let's talk about the first couple rounds before we get on to the eye poke stuff. Chris looked so much better than he did in his last fight. Throwing a lot of kicks, landed a couple big shots, had him really hurt at the end of that second round, first or second round, I can't remember. It was either the first or second round, he had Bruno Silva hurt, and Bruno Silva is very good, he's very dangerous. And Chris was looking a lot better, definitely a lot better than he did in his last fight. But lots of eye pokes, lots of ranging like this. And again, the referee had no interest in telling him to close his hand. You had to hear his corner telling him that he needs to keep a close fist. I think the referee said it like one time after his second eye poke. Like, dude. The New Jersey referees were on one tonight, dude. I'm telling you. But how? Let's go and look how this fight ended. Chris kind of is ranging with his open hand, pokes him in the eye, bad, and then kind of lands a looping right hand to the top of the head. And it sat him down, but he was going down to the ground because his eye was poked. Only thing with that is, you can't, if you get poked in the eye, you can't drop to the ground, because then they're going to stop the fight, because if they don't see the eye poke right away, and you can't even really protest the eye poke if you go to the ground. You know, you go to the ground like this, they don't know, they can't tell the difference if you're hurt or if you're holding your eye, because they poked it. So they ruled it initially a TKO, ends up being a unanimous decision victory. They score the fight up until that point. But Chris has really got to keep his fucking hands closed this next fight. And these referees need to do a better job. Like, every time they go to, like, is it, like, Houston? I don't know if it's just the state of Texas where it's Houston. The athletic commission there is, like, dog shit. They're, like, notorious for having horrible decisions. And now New Jersey, especially, you know, Atlantic City, it's a little sketchy down there. Now they're going to have a reputation of having horrible referees. They had referees I've never seen before. Which is okay. You know, you got to give these guys a chance. You got to get guys that usually do a lot of the regional promotions. You got to give them a chance to do the big show every now and then. But they clearly were not ready for it. And I can't remember the gentleman's name who refereed this Chris Weidman, Bruno Silva fight. Let me see if I can find it. Sometimes you go to SureDog, they have it up there. Let Not there. Hold on. Because I've seen this dude before. And he usually is, like, fine. Usually not good or bad. But, like, this was really bad. Who was it? Gary Copeland. He's got a lot of experience in there, especially even with these bigger fights. So I don't know what was going on with him Saturday night, but not my problem. I don't make the decisions for the Athletic Commission. Anyway, a little bit of a shocking victory. Not a shocking victory, but Joaquin Buckley defeating Vicente Luque via second round TKO, plus 100 underdog. First guy to be fight. First time he's fighting up. First time in this weight class he's fighting a ranked opponent. And I think Joaquin Buckley has really found a home at 170. He's not, because he's a big guy. He's jacked, but he's not huge. Like when he was fighting at 185, when he fought, I can't remember what the guy's name was. Like big French dude, not Cyril Gane, obviously. It was like a big French dude at 185. He looked tiny in there. And against Vicente Luque, he looked like the bigger man. And it doesn't seem like he's having a big problem missing weight, like making weight. So that's good. Let me talk about something real quick. Everybody thinks, for some reason, like, not everybody, but I've seen a lot of posts about this card specifically saying how it's rigged. And they use this fight as an example. So, Vicente pulls guard towards the end of that second round before the fight gets finished, because he's not landing anything on Buckley. His striking didn't look as good as it normally does. And he's not really able to pull him into his guard. So Joaquin's up there just landing hammer fists. He's landing big shots. Vicente's just sitting there curled up. Ref calls the fight off. And a lot of people are saying that, oh, he wasn't doing anything. This is rigged. Guys, not every fucking thing is rigged. We live in a world now to where sports betting is, I think, legal in 36 different states online. Listen, are some things rigged? Probably. They probably are. And guess what? I don't care. I want to watch the game and have fun. If it's rigged, it's rigged. Who honestly gives a shit? I don't give a shit. Obviously, you should, because it's fraud, blah, 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 whatever. But If someone's bet doesn't hit, they just cry rigged. And it's always happened through my whole life, especially being on social media, you know, from the time I was like probably 7th, 8th grade. And you see like a game, maybe they didn't call the holding call, blah, 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 in football. And they're like, the game's rigged. But it was nowhere near the level it is now. And I think that directly attributes to sports betting. Because if you watch the fight, clearly they should have stopped the fight. Vicente was sitting there covering up, not defending himself. Stop the fight. Makes sense. You got to stop calling rigged to every single thing. Anyway, that's my two cents on that. No one cares, but that's my two cents. Oh, God. I'm disgusting. I'm disgusted with myself. I did go to the gym this morning. I'm pretty proud of myself for that. I haven't gone to the gym in like 2 weeks because I was sick. That was an excuse. I was sick 2 weeks ago. I didn't go last week because I was fucking lazy. I'm a fat fucking piece of shit. Anyway, that brings us to the main event. Erin Blanchfield versus Marion Ferreau. I can never pronounce her name correctly. Those French names. I don't know what my... I can pronounce Benoit Saint-Denis perfectly. But for some reason, Marion Ferreau. I don't know. That sounds Spanish now. I'm going to stop doing that. Anyway, defeats Erin Blanchfield by unanimous decision. And listen, Marion was doing so well on the feet, but not really offensively striking. Do you know what I mean? Every time Erin moved forward, she would move. She would slip and do and just land whatever she wanted to. If you want to fight the champion, you got, and this was basically a title eliminator, let's be honest. If you want to fight the champion, you gotta put on a better performance than that. You really do. If you if she started walking forward and just putting it on her, which she very easily could have, her striking was way better than Erin Blanchfield's. That's clearly Erin's weak point. She really's got to work on the striking. She really does. It was bad. For our number two ranked contender, it was not good. It's not what you want to see. But she's got to go out there and she's got to get it. She's got to take what's hers and she's got to ask for the belt. Because right now, they're currently filming The Ultimate Fighter with Valentina Shevchenko and Alexa Grasso. They're doing that fight for a third time for some reason, even though Alexa's won both. I know the last one was controversial. I kind of thought Valentina won. But now you're going to sit on the sidelines for God knows how long. And do what? Are you going to fight Macy Barber? You don't want to fight Macy Barber. Fuck that. Can you beat her? Probably. But still. So what are you going to do? Sit on the sideline for a year and wait for your title shot? At least if you come out and you do something impressive, people are going to remember. If you come out, you know, you land big shots, you head kick her, and you finish her. Like, she could have probably fucking head kicked her and finished her. She was a lot, Aaron's a lot shorter than Marion here. People are going to remember that, and they're going to be like, I want to see her fight for the title next. I know these two girls got to take care of business, but I want to see fight for a title next. And now they're like, I don't want to see her fight for anything. That was boring. And listen, I think people get carried away with saying fights are too boring. It wasn't an exciting fight, but I don't think it was a boring fight. There's a difference. And if you see the number two and number three ranked contenders, to be fair, you do want to see more action than what we saw this weekend. But still, nonetheless, very impressive. I would love to see her fight either Grasso or Shevchenko. I'd really love to see her fight Shevchenko with how good her striking is. But that was it for this weekend. All right, MMA picks. Guys, I have been doing so bad this year. Our record now stands at 32-39. Every time I have a good week, I'll go like 4-2 or 3-2. 3-2 is good for me right now because I'm terrible. I have another shitty week like this one. I think I went 2-4. Do this week's picks. See the verdict card right here. Again, not a sponsor, obviously. I have 16 views on an episode. No one watches these, but I love the app. All right, we got Trevor Peak winning by knockout. We got Walter Walker winning by decision. We have Joshua Van winning by decision. We have Morgan Shari, I believe that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. Winning by knockout. We got Alexander Hernandez to win by decision. And we got Brandon Allen to win by submission. So that will be it for this week's picks. Thank you, Verdict, for that beautiful, beautiful scorecard we got there. UFC 300 coming up soon. People are still holding out hope that No, not UFC 3000. Holding out hope that maybe there's another main event. And guys, I really don't think there is. But guys, let's revisit how beautiful this card is. How beautiful UFC 300 is. First fight of the night is Davidson Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt. And I know people think that they should probably be fighting on the pay-per-view, and they probably should. Got two former champions. But that's a great fight. Bobby Green and Jim Miller. Jim Miller was at every single UFC... rephrase that, UFC 100, UFC 200, now UFC 300, so that's fucking awesome. Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez, number 5 versus number 6 at strawweight for the women. And then we got Jalen Turner and Renato Moicano. That's the early prelims. That's fucking nuts. And then we got Sadiq Youssef and Diego Lopes kicking off the prelim card. Then Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison. Then we got Calvin Kattar fighting Aljamain Sterling at featherweight. Aljamain's first featherweight fight. And the featured prelim is Jiří Procházka versus Alexander Rakic. And this is the fight everyone's pissed about. And let's be honest, I'm not really happy about it either. Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage is kicking off the pay-per-view card. If you put that on the early prelims, let's see what fight. Let's play a game. What fight should we have put to kick off? Obviously, probably Davidson Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt. or Jiří Procházka and Alexander Rakic. You could put that anywhere on the prelim card. That should honestly kick off the prelim card. We should probably put Yusuf Siddiq and Diego Lopes on the early prelims. Put them there. I think that would be better. But anyway, we got Charles Oliveira versus Armin Tuxurian. That's a great fight. Number one versus number four. Then we got Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway for a lightweight BMF title bout. Then we got Zhang Weili versus Yang Zhao. I can never pronounce this young lady's name. I'm so sorry. That's for the women's strawweight title. That's awesome. And then the light heavyweight main event, Alex Pereira and Jalen Turner. Honestly, I'm pretty excited for that fight. Jalen Turner's fucking huge. Fuck, how big is Jalen Turner? Because I know Alex is huge. I've never seen them stand next to each other. I'm really curious to see how big Alex stacks up against like a real light heavyweight. Not that Jiří wasn't, but Yuri's a lot smaller than Jalen is. He's tall and long, but yeah, UFC 300 is great. Anyway, that's going to do it for me this week, guys. Video available up on YouTube sometime tonight. Audio will be up very shortly. I don't know. You guys don't know when shortly is to me. You don't know what time I recorded this, but it'll be up in 10 minutes. Thank you so much for watching. I appreciate it, and have a good night, guys.